I'm turning again to that chapter we read from 1 Corinthians, Paul's marvellous letter to the church there at Corinth, chapter 2, and especially here, verse 14. Some words that we might find hard to understand, but we'll reflect on them here this evening and come to some understanding of them. But here the apostle writes this: "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, you may not realise it, of course, I understand, that here is one of the greatest distinctions between people in this world. I hope you understand there is a great divide in this world. Sometimes we talk about people who are saved, and of course people who are unsaved. We find in this world there are only two sorts of people. There are those who have been forgiven by God and those that haven't yet been forgiven by the Lord. We speak also in terms of people being converted. Converted, spiritually changed by the Spirit of God. Well, there are those people in this world that have been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not converted to a religion, but converted to the Saviour. Their lives have been converted, their lives have been changed. But also, there are of course many that have not been converted at all. Why? There are a number of ways, many ways, in which the Bible makes this divide. In other places, we read of the righteous and the unrighteous. Those that are good in God's sight and those that are not. Well, here is the divide. And of course, here in this verse, we have it put in a different sort of way. It may not be so obvious, but I put it to you that here it is speaking of natural man, and those that have come away from that situation. And it says here that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And so the difference here is the natural man and the spiritual man. Now, I'm very careful when I use that term, spiritual man, because I'm not talking about any sort of super saint. I'm not talking about someone that's sort of almost angelic, nothing like that. When we speak of spiritual man in the context of these things here this evening, what we mean is that there is a spiritual aspect to that person. That their soul has a spiritual aspect to it, whereas there are many other people that have no spiritual aspect to them. And the Apostle Paul here, the Holy Spirit, as he writes in this letter, calls them natural. And we're all born, in a sense, natural in this world. We're natural people. Well, of course, you'll understand that. But the point is that as natural people, we need to have another dimension to our lives. We need to have a spiritual dimension to our lives and to our souls. So here is the divide. Again, natural and spiritual in that sense. So saved and unsaved, forgiven and unforgiven, converted or not saved or unsaved. And here, natural or spiritual. Well, whether we are natural or spiritual decides whether we are dead or alive, spiritually speaking. The Bible often speaks of the soul being dead. Now, of course, we in our ordinary lives can't admit to being dead in any sense. We feel very much alive. Our youngsters are running around and doing all sorts of things. Of course, they're alive. But the Bible tells us that the spiritual aspect of our soul is dead until we are converted. So there is this distinction. Now, if you really understood what I'm saying, you might be quite antagonistic to what I have said. You might be one that reacts rather badly to such a thought. You might think to yourself, is this man insinuating that I've got nothing spiritual about me? Is this man insinuating that I'm dead spiritually in the soul? Is this man trying to imply that there's something wrong with me? Friends, this has got nothing to do with me, in my opinion. This is what we're reading from the Bible. This is what the Scripture tells us. This is God's revelation, what God tells us in his word. And here, the word of God says, the natural man, he doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. He can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. Only a spiritual person can understand these spiritual things. Oh, friends, It may be that you're antagonistic. Accept that you might believe or begin to believe that these words are for our highest good, that they are for the health of our soul, that they are eternal life to us if we will accept them and see the implication of them. Accept that God already perhaps begins to deal with our soul. But my risk, of course, tonight is that I explain these things to you and you go away in a huff and you think, how dare that man say that there's something wrong with me? Friends, nothing could be further from my aim here tonight. I want us to know these things and to understand them and to believe them and trust in them. This is what the Bible is telling us. And so we want to understand what we admit are difficult words here in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. You know, this is a powerful declaration of spiritual truth. We must be desperate to know what God says. We must have a great longing and yearning in our heart to say to ourselves even tonight, I want to know what this means. I want to know what the Bible means. I want to know what these spiritual things are all about. I want to know what they have to do with me and my life and my eternal destiny. I must know what this is all about. And I'm sorry, but we have to have a totally realistic view of ourselves. Until we get to that point, until we get to that beginning, we're never going to find anything good for our souls. We'll never find salvation. We'll never find anything of reality concerning spiritual things, concerning our God, concerning a true view of ourselves. We must come to this view, a realistic view of ourselves, that there's something wrong, that there's something missing, that there's something we need our God to help us with. This is a bitter blow to many, a bitter blow. But if it can for a moment be acknowledged, oh, then there's such help, even salvation. If we should just acknowledge for a moment, I need help, how hard that is for men and women, how hard that is for youngsters to say, I need help. But if we should just begin to say such a thing, I need help. I need help spiritually speaking. I need help with this word of God. I need help with my life. I need help to grasp these things. I need help that my life be changed completely and radically so that then I'm the Lord's and I can go safely through this life and go to glory in heaven, as we read of in even this chapter, to a place where our eyes haven't perceived, our ears haven't heard. It hasn't entered our hearts what God has prepared for those that love him. And so we must acknowledge, we must come to this beginning. There must be this seeing, this assessing of our lives, that we need something, that there's something terribly missing about our lives and our existence here. And so we come to such a verse here tonight so that I try to help you. Here is this great distinction. There are the natural ones and there are the spiritual ones. There are those that are only influenced by natural things in this world, but there are also others that are influenced, terribly influenced, greatly influenced, deeply influenced by spiritual things that come out of the Word of God, that come from the Spirit of God working in our souls. Well, you see here in our verse it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. This receiving here, it has to do with accepting. Well, I've already mentioned this. We need to accept that we need help. We need to accept that there's something missing, that we don't have a spiritual dimension to our lives. So this receiving is accepting something. It means that we take on board something. It means that we take seriously something. And I think also that if that is the case, we will act upon it. We will act upon it. And so we see here that the natural man doesn't accept anything. He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. He is not someone who takes on board any of these things. They just go over their head. And they might come to a service like this and be interested for a while and then go out of the door. That's the end of it. They don't receive them. They don't accept them. They don't acknowledge them. Oh, friends, are we going to take this seriously tonight as we hear them, these things, and act upon them? And so we read here, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. He doesn't know them. We see here, neither can he know them, perceive these things, be sure of them. Be certain of these things. Experience them. Oh, friends, this is what it's all about. If we're natural in that sense and we haven't had a spiritual dimension given to us in our lives, then we won't know about these things. Well, we might have a slight inkling. We might have a certain sense that there's something missing, but we won't really know. We won't really know these things. They're foreign to us. They're something that we can't really grasp. They're outside of our experience. And so we need to look at these things here tonight. We read here that the Spirit of God makes these things known. And the things of the Spirit of God, the natural person, he doesn't receive them. He can't know them. But here, the Spirit of God, God himself. You will know that our God is super personality. He is three persons. We're only one. There's you and me. We have one person. But God is far above us in his being. He's three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here it's speaking of the Holy Spirit. And it's speaking of being God taught. And it's speaking of God showing something. And of God applying something to our lives. And only by a spiritual conversion can such a thing happen, that we will discern something. Do you see that word discern right at the end of the verse? Well, it means that we will investigate something, that we will assess something in a right and proper way. We will determine something in our minds that is spiritually true. How's that going to happen? Only by the Spirit of God. Only by God's help. Only by God teaching us. I hope, in some sense, if I can say it humbly, friends, that's what we hope is happening now. That as we look at the Bible, as we look at what God says, that then God teaches our hearts. He teaches our minds. He teaches our souls something vital. And this is what God does by his Holy Spirit. And only by conversion can this happen, that we will discern these spiritual things. This is the divide. There are those that are dead spiritually and those that are alive spiritually. This has to do with the spiritual aspect of the soul. This is something I find many people have great difficulty in understanding. Even believers struggle here a little bit. But here, of course, what are we? We're body and soul. Of course, we are body, you understand that. But there is also a spiritual part to us. There is a soul. Now, that soul, it thinks. And that soul, of course, it reasons. And that soul loves and has affection and hates certain things as well. That's all to do with our soul. It's got nothing to do with our arm. It's got nothing to do with the ache in our leg. Of course not. That's all to do with our mind and our thinking and our hearts, as we sometimes call it, our emotions. Well, this is our soul. But in the Bible, we're told that there's a sense in which there's a deadness that has entered into our soul. And friends, this has all to do with the fact that we are dead towards God. We are dead in the spiritual aspect of our soul. Of course, we can think about ordinary things. We can think about what we've got to do tomorrow. We can think about our jobs and how we bring our children up. We can think about all sorts of ordinary things. But when it comes to spiritual things, it's as if there's a deadness. A deadness in the soul that can't comprehend these things, that can't grasp them, that doesn't know how to act upon them, that doesn't know how to have a relationship with God himself. There's something completely missing. The spiritual aspect of the soul is dead. The Bible tells us in a very stark verse that we are dead in trespasses and sins. It's our sin that cuts us off from God. Just as some disease or old age might eventually cut our physical life off from all our friends and our family and our loved ones, and we're laid in the grave and we're cut off from them, there's no more communication, we're dead. The Bible talks about this other sort of deadness, being spiritually dead. We're cut off from God, from any real communication with him. We can't understand what he says and we don't want to talk to him. And that's the deadness of the soul. The spiritual aspect of the soul. A spiritual man is a forgiven man. A forgiven woman, a forgiven youngster. A spiritual man is a converted person. And they're given a spiritual aspect to their lives. They're given, literally, spiritual life in the soul. spirit here in this verse, as I said earlier, is not to do with being saintly. You might say, here's a spiritual man. He's such a saint. He's so kind. He's so good. He's so lovely. He's so intelligent. He's so all sorts of things. But friends, that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about someone who has a spiritual aspect to their lives. They may not be the world's most wonderful Christian, but they're converted. They know the Lord. They love him. They love his word. And when it is taught, and when they read it for themselves, they understand. They understand such things. Well, the natural man hasn't got that spiritual aspect to them. They can't understand it. They can't receive it. They don't take it in. They don't act upon it. They don't discern these things at all. Spirit here is, of course, knowing that someone has a spiritual aspect to their lives. Do you know, we cannot move from one sense to the other by anything that we do. We can't move from the natural to the spiritual by coming to church. We can't move from the natural to the spiritual by saying our prayers or even reading our Bible. Friends, this is something God must do. This is something that the Spirit of God must do and act upon our souls and bring to us spiritual life. And if we understood that, then we'd be those that cry out to God and say, Lord, come and do this for me. Lord, maybe I've tried all sorts of things to get some spiritual aspect to my life, to get myself saved, some people say. But none of that works. So Lord, come and deal with me. Come and help me to acknowledge that I need a spiritual aspect to my life. My friends, we read here that the spiritual things in life cannot be understood by the natural person, the unconverted. Well, you might rather prefer to be natural than to be spiritual. You might say, well, maybe it sounds interesting what you're saying. Maybe I can't even quite grasp what you're saying. I'm not really bothered about it. I'm very happy in my natural state. I'm very happy enjoying the things of this world. I'm very happy that I should look for entertainment and money and whatever else people look for, relationship. Well, friends, there are many in this world that think in that way, that the natural things are quite enough for them, and they don't really care about spiritual things if they are ever mentioned. But of course, that proves the point, doesn't it? It proves the point of this verse, that the natural man doesn't care about spiritual things. The natural man has no aspirations for a spiritual realm to be made real to him. The natural man has no care that there is a God in heaven. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, friends, this is what we are seeing in this verse here tonight. You might prefer to be natural rather than spiritual. Maybe it sounds rather highfalutin to you. Spiritual sounds very high. But, friends, the point is that this is salvation. Unless we have a spiritual aspect to our life, then there's no salvation. Unless we have a spiritual aspect to our life, then there's no eternal life. We should stand before God one day, as the Bible tells us, and have to give an account of our life. And he'll say to us, you never saw a spiritual aspect to your life. You never saw that there was any good or any gain to be had in looking into spiritual matters. You never sought me for salvation. And God will say, depart from me. And he will cut us off from all that's good and lovely and noble and right and beautiful. Oh, friends. Friends, that is a wretched thing. If we say tonight, well, I'm not really bothered about spiritual things, then what we are saying is we're not interested in heaven to come. We're not interested that we have to face God as we leave this world. Oh, friends, we must understand that God is holy and God is perfect and that man is sinful and he is condemned because of his sin. Does that mean anything to you? Does it mean anything to you? Does it have a curious sound in your ears as I talk about such things? God being holy and we being sinful. What do I care? What do I care about such things? Well, if you say, what do I care? You're a natural man. You haven't seen it. You haven't seen anything spiritual. Oh, friends, do you understand something of that? Do you understand that there is to be a day of judgment? When we quit this world, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. as we stand before God and have to give an account of what we have done in this life, whether good or bad, whether we trusted the Saviour and believed his word and lived according to his commandment, or whether we couldn't care less about these things. There's going to be a day of judgment. Do we say to ourselves, well, I'm not bothered about that, it doesn't worry me at all? Well, the Apostle Paul has got you summed up completely here. The natural man doesn't receive these things. He doesn't understand them. He doesn't discern them. He can't see them. He's not interested in them. That's what the apostle says here. He's exactly got us summed up. Do we understand? Do we understand that we need grace? That we need God to work towards us in entirely the opposite way of what we deserve? Do we understand that we need God's mercy? That we need to cry out for mercy? Or do you say to yourself, not interested in mercy? Mercy, what's that? I'm not interested in grace. Seems a very biblical word. What do I think of that? What do I know of that? What do I care for that? If you do, friends, you're natural. There's no spiritual aspect to you. You're not beginning to grasp anything spiritual at all. You're in such great danger as you think about these things. You're just in the natural realm without any spiritual aspect to your soul at all. Do you understand that God alone could bear the penalty for our sin? That the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, lived that perfect life that he lived, and then he died on the cross. He died on the cross as a substitute. He died in the place of sinners like us. He took the penalty upon himself that we might go free, that we might be forgiven, that we might be given heaven instead of hell. That's all through Jesus Christ, the one in whom we must trust, the one that we must yield up our lives to be his forevermore. Does that have any resonance with you? Do you have any feelings towards such a thing? Or do you think, it's just mumbo jumbo? It's just so far out of anything that I can believe, or anything I can trust, or anything that I can go along with. I think Paul's got you. He's got you. He said, you're a natural man. You've got no spiritual aspect to your soul. You don't begin to see what God has done for needy sinners, that you might come to him and know his salvation, his forgiveness, and heaven to come. Do you understand that we need to repent of our sin? That we need to repent of that rebellion that we're in against God? Do you understand that we need to be changed? Changed absolutely and radically in our lives and in our thinking and in our emotions? Oh, friends, do you see it? Or do you think to yourself, I don't understand what you're saying, and anyway, I have no care for these things? Oh, friends, then we're just natural people without any spiritual understanding. The natural man doesn't want to know about God. We read in that psalm, there's none that seeketh after him, none that understandeth. No, not one. This is how we are born into this world. The natural man doesn't want to know about God. He sees it all as so, so foolish. Well, that's what Paul says here. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. There needs to be a spiritual aspect to our lives if ever we're going to take these things in. Well, the natural man doesn't want to know about God. But this message, friends, this message is reality. It's more real than anything we know in this world. Why, you may think that tomorrow morning, having your breakfast and going off on the bus to work and raising your family and dealing with your relationships around, you may think that that's all real. But friends, this is more real. This is eternally real. This is something of substance that will go on and on, beyond this world in which we live. And unless we catch hold of this, then we've had it. We're lost. Lost for all eternity. This message of salvation in the Bible is reality. It tells us the truth about ourselves. And unless we're willing to grasp it, then we will never know this. But friends, even that is spiritually understood. Unless you understand the truth about yourself, well, we're lost. But how can you know it? Unless by the Spirit of God he comes and deals with your soul. The spiritual person is one that has a spiritual dimension to his life. The spiritual person really has had and known two lives. Two lives. Well, even on earth, he can relate to God and walk with him. There was once a time when the spiritual man was a natural man. He didn't care for these things. He didn't care for the Bible. He didn't care to hear about his sin. He didn't care to hear about his own spiritual inadequacies. He didn't care to believe anything about God sending his son to die in the place of sinners. When we were natural people, we didn't care for any of these things. But then God worked in our lives by the Spirit of God. He came and taught these things to our soul. And he granted us spiritual life. And he granted us spirit in the soul. And he gave us, indeed, a spiritual aspect so that we saw it and we understood it. And we began to see how much we needed the Saviour. And we came and we cried out to God for life. And you see, now that spiritual person has known two lives. He knew that life in the past when he didn't care for these things. But now he lives a new life in that understanding of a spiritual realm where God is. And the Spirit of God and heaven to come. Oh, friends. Have we come to such a point? The natural person has only one life, a physical life. Well, a mental life, of course, as well. But you see, that's all. No spiritual understanding at all. Well, the spiritual person can pray to God Almighty in a meaningful way, knowing that God is there, listening to his prayer. Well, indeed, a spiritual person can pray to Almighty God, being aware of his presence, worshipping. That's another spiritual thing about the believer. That's another spiritual thing about the one who has a spiritual aspect to his life, who is taught by the Spirit of God. He worships. It's real. He doesn't stand up and sing a hymn. He doesn't say, "Thank you, Lord, for my food," just like that. He worships within. He loves his God. He's come into a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because of what the Saviour has done for him. He worships. He tells God that he loves him. He tells God that he's dependent upon him. He tells the Lord how wonderful it is to know him, and he appreciates all that the Lord has done and made in this world. He worships. He worships, which is something spiritual and never really comes into the mind and heart of someone who is a natural person that hasn't got this spiritual aspect to their lives. Oh, friends, the world is everything to the natural person. There's nothing else for the natural person. This life, this world, what they can get, what they can enjoy, what they can really take in of this world, this present world, and then they're in the grave, as far as I know, and that's the end. There's nothing else. Nothing else to be looked for. Nothing to be inquired into. Nothing to be thought seriously about. My friend's a natural man. This world is enough in many senses for him. He doesn't care for anything else. He's not interested. He doesn't believe that there is a God. He doesn't believe that there is a spiritual realm. He doesn't believe that there is a heaven and a hell. He doesn't believe that there's such a thing as sin that will damn him before a holy God. Those things don't come in to his thinking. This natural world is all that he is interested in. And you see that by the way they live their lives. That's only the only thing that they care for. That it's entertainment, it's wealth, it's enjoyment, it's petty pleasures, and it's power, or whatever it is that they take a fancy to. It's only this world that they are interested in. Spiritual things don't come into the consideration. They're not even worth a moment's thought at all. The spiritual man has his eye on eternity. He doesn't just think of this world. He's thinking that there's coming a time when I'm going to quit this world. My body will lay there in the grave. My loved ones will be upset that I'm parted from them. But I'll be in heaven. I'll be in glory. It'll be wonderful. My eye hasn't seen it yet. My ear hasn't really comprehended it. My heart can't really take it in. But I know it's going to be wonderful to be in the presence of God as he has come and given me this spiritual aspect to my soul, as he has converted me and changed me so that I can never be the same again, and he has made me to be his, a worshipper of God. Oh, I'm not the most wonderful person in the world, but I know that there is something spiritual about me that God has granted to me, and he's shown me these things to be real, and I depend upon them and I believe them with all my heart, and I know that one day I'm going to glory to be with God and to be blessed in his wonderful presence. Oh, friends, the spiritual man has an eye on eternity. You know, the natural man only thinks of earthly things. He knows only how things happen, but he hardly ever knows why. He hardly ever knows why the natural man in this world has got an amazing brain, an amazing mind that God has given to him. He is able to work things out, how they work, why down to the minute atom, and to the great rolling spheres of the universe. They seem to work so many things out, how animals do certain things. And we look at it on the television and we're filled with awe and wonder at these things. But the natural man has no idea why. No idea why these things are so. No idea why that the great and glorious God has made all these things for his glory and for our enjoyment, and so that we might see even in these glorious things God the great designer, God the great creator, God the powerful God, God the sustaining God. Oh, the natural man doesn't see these things. They just take these things in their stride almost. Oh, that's nice. Oh, I enjoy that. Oh, isn't it wonderful to see this lovely sunset? No idea about the God behind these wonderful things. Well, the natural man thinks only of the earthly things and has no idea of why God did these things. My friends, there's no condemnation to the spiritual person. No condemnation from God because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his atonement on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ came and secured the forgiveness of all his people when he died in agony and suffering upon his cross, so that we might be forgiven and set free. What's that all about, you say? What's that all about? This man dying on the cross by the Romans and the Jews hounding him to... What's that all about? Friends, it takes spiritual discernment to see that here is the dying Saviour, loving his people, giving his life, his life's blood, that we might be forgiven and set free. Do you understand it? Do you see it? Do you begin to grasp it? Does the Spirit of God begin to give you a spiritual insight into these things? This is what we must have if ever we are to be saved. The natural man cannot escape his character. He is at the mercy of all earthly forces as they come upon him. Why, so often we think, I'll do what I want. And we have our funerals and we sing, I did it my way. Why? Nothing could be further from the truth. They're completely moulded by this world, by their friends, by what they learn in their schools and their secular books. Completely moulded by the atheistic view of this world. Oh, friends, nothing could be further from the truth. That we do what we want. We are completely conformed to this world. Completely conformed to the behaviour of those round about us. Completely conformed to even the wickedness and the wretchedness of those around about us. And if we had the freedom, if we had the power, we'd do the most awful things that the worst of people have done in this world, our friends. The natural man cannot escape his character. He's at the mercy of the forces of this world. The natural man has no eternal happiness to look forward to. Well, they don't even see it, do they? They don't even think that there is a glorious everlasting life to be enjoyed with their God and with all those that have loved the Saviour through their lives. Why? Because it doesn't come into their thinking. Of course, the natural man doesn't even think, why, I've got all that to look forward to throughout the everlasting age, to be with my God and to worship him and to serve him. It doesn't even come into the reckoning. Before conversion, we're unstable. Anything could happen. Anything could happen to our lives. We find that we walk through this world and in a second things go down. Or we're riding high in April and we're shot down in May. Oh, friends, you know that that is the case and it happens to all of us. But with someone that has a spiritual aspect to their lives, no matter what happens to them, no matter what wretched things come into their lives, no matter what awful circumstances surround them, still they have this. They have a hold on their God. They have a spiritual aspect to their life which makes them to know and to believe and to be absolutely assured that they're in the hand of God and none can pluck them from it, and he will take them to glory and they shall enjoy everlasting life with him. Are we natural? Just natural? Or have we got something spiritual about us? Well, friends, I want to say that as kindly as I can. I'm not here tonight to say, you're just natural. You haven't got a spiritual aspect. Of course not. I long that you might have something spiritual about you, that you might discern certain things, that even tonight, the Spirit of God, not me, but the Spirit of God would teach your soul your great need of forgiveness, your great need of salvation, that you might come to him and acknowledge and come to this very beginning that there is something missing in my life, that I haven't got a spiritual aspect, and I cry out to God that he might give it to me, that I might see these things and own them as true and come to the Saviour for forgiveness. Do you see it, friends? Do you begin to understand? We need to be entirely changed. We must go to Jesus Christ and trust our all to him. We must become spiritual. We'll never have heaven without being spiritual. We'll never be spiritual on our own. We need God to do this. It must be by the Spirit of God. The natural man receives not the spirit, things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual discerns all things. He discerns them. He sees them. He understands them. Why? Because he's cleverer than others? Because he's been to Bible college? Because he's read the Bible umpteen times? No! But because God has dealt with his soul. And he's crying out to God, Lord, give me this spiritual insight. Give me this spiritual view, not just of yourself, but of myself, of my sin, of my inadequacy. Oh, friends, the spiritual people are not perfect people, but they have a spiritual dimension to their lives. Men and women, boys and girls that have seen the cross, they've understood it. They've seen that that is all they need. And they've come to the Saviour that died there and said, Lord, come, come, save me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, convert my life. Do you see it? Do you get an inkling of it? Just a little smattering of it even. This is the beginning, that the Spirit of God might indeed teach your soul what you need, and that you might cry out to him even tonight, that he might come and give you such a thing that you might know him, whom to know is life eternal. Let's pray together.